better than kosher.
Have, like,
you have to have somebody processing kosher wine.
Okay.
You have to have a Jewish winery. The Chachamim were very concerned about intermarriage. One form is more serious than the other. Pasteurized are considered Yain Levushin. In America, that was a dispute over the last 50 years between the Tzele Merov and Rav Moshe Feinstein. Tzele Merov, who originally gave the Hashgacha on Kedem, and now the Tzele Merov's stepson gives the Hashgacha on the Kedem wine. So they were of the opinion, they read the Shulchan Aruch literally, that Yain Levushin, there's no concern of Nisuch, only applies if you cook the wine till it started to evaporate, till 212. And Rav Moshe Feinstein thought that that was a mistake, so Rav Moshe printed a tshuva, where he writes that all pasteurized wine is considered Levushin, because the Don Lekoyen in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Or Zeruah a suffix, how much do you have to cook the wine that it should be considered mevushal, that the handling of the nachri should pose a problem. And the Ozarua raises the possibility that maybe even if it's only posherim, even if it was only heated, that it became lukewarm. Sometimes there are tanaim and masecha Shabbos who say the heating of liquid till the point of posherim, evsheruz el bishula. So the Ozarua writes he's not sure. And that's why we're machmir, that that's not sufficient. Poshrim is not sufficient. So how much do you need? So Rav Moshe writes, Yatzel Edis is enough. But to say that you have to heat it to the point that it's 212, to the point that water will evaporate, he said that's a mistake. Rav Moshe is just not sure how high is Yatzel Edis. In Hilchos Shabbos, we're machmir that Yatzel Edis is much lower. 114, 120. Usually the kashrus organizations assume something past 120. They consider 120 borderline. But for the purposes of Hakel, to say that the yayin is mevushal, so we wouldn't be so lenient to say that if you heated the wine till 120, that would be considered yatzalet. So Moshe in three different shuvas is guessing. So he writes different suggestions. The one tshuva he writes 185. One tshuva he writes 175. Another tshuva he writes lower than that. It's usually assumed 185 is way above. Usually assumed something like 175. That's l'chol ha'day is considered mevushal. And if it'll be mevushal, then the chashash of the dachri being menasechet no longer applies. Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach both thought, they were the Chutanim, they both thought that this din shouldn't apply b'zman hazeh to pasteurizing wine, because the Rishonim comment on that Gemara, the Yayin Mevushal, there's no din of Maga Nachri. They mean every time you have a Gzeira, whatever the reason for the Gzeira doesn't apply, so the Gzeira doesn't apply. So the Rishonim say they add on another qualification. They say because Yayin Mevushal is a milsim de la shchicha. It's very unusual to cook wine because the cooking, as the Mashgiach explained, when you pasteurize the wine, so it prevents it from further fermenting. It's not going to develop anymore. That's the end of the line. It's not going to become stronger wine. So because Yayin Mevushal was unusual in the days of the Gemara, so that's why they would never go there, because the reason doesn't apply and it's a milsim de la shchicha, they weren't going there. So these two Rabbanim, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rabbi Yashiv, both wrote that they thought that today the pasteurization is so common, even by non-Jewish wineries, a lot of times they'll pasteurize the wine. Because today it's so common, so they both thought that this cooler shouldn't apply to Zalman. But here in America, oh, not in America, those who live in America usually follow Rav Moshe Feinstein, so he thought that they did in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, still applies today. If the Nochri was really Menasef the wine, then the Rambam's opinion is that then it's also Menadar, that's Tikruvus of an Azar. The prohibition of Stam Yena means Stam means you don't know one way or the other. If you would know for sure, then it would be a biblical prohibition. If you're not sure, then the Chachamim prohibited it. There were those who followed the Shulchan Aruch of the Arizal who came up with the new Chumrah, that even if the Nachri doesn't handle the wine, if he just looks at the wine, so he asks the wine. And that's why they have dark bottles, so you can't see the wine through the bottle, so then you don't even have the histaklus of the Nachri. But that's a chumrah. about the Arba Kaisis, as a machlekes hatanoim, whether white wine is acceptable for Kiddush, for Havdalah, and for Arba Kaisis. One tana insists has to be Yayin Odom, has to be red wine, based on the pasuk in Mishlei, Al Tere Yayin Ki Yisadom. Don't fall in love with the wine because it has such a red color and you find it alluring. So the pasuk is praising the wine that has a red color. Rabbi explained to us that the red wine, the wine becomes red because you soak the seeds. You soak the seeds in the wine. If you squeeze out the wine from the red grapes or the purple grapes, still not going to be red wine. You have to have it soaking in the seeds, either for 10 days or for 3 weeks, depending what flavor wine you want to get. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Machlokes had a paskin on this. Is it acceptable to recite, you say Baruch Pirei Gofen on the wine, even if it's not red, but the question is it proper to use it for Kiddush? So there is some Rishonim who paskin that you're not allowed to use white wine, you have to dafki use red wine. But L'chatchila for sure. The Gemara says that if a person gets stuck and he doesn't have any wine, all he has to do is purchase, and it's Shabbos, he has to purchase grapes before Shabbos, squeeze them out before Shabbos. And the grape juice is also wine, even though it didn't ferment at all. So that was a big machlekes in America. When they started processing the grape juice, they pasteurize it, they cook it, and they put in chemicals to prevent it from fermenting. And that was a big machlekes. And many gedolim were of the opinion of Henkin, who was the big pasuk in America before Rav Moshe came on the scene. Of Henkin and many other gedolim were of the opinion that only grape juice that was not treated chemically, that if you would have left the grape juice longer, would have turned into wine, would have fermented. So such grape juice is Baruch Pirei Gofen. But the kind of grape juice that we have today, that's treated chemically and it's pasteurized, it can never turn into, even if you wouldn't drink it, it wouldn't be able to turn into wine. Many were of the opinion that that's not the Baruch Pirei Gofen, that that's shahakel, like orange juice. Like grapefruit juice. The first one to paskin otherwise was Professor Louis Ginsberg from the Jewish Theological Seminary, that during Prohibition years, it was against the law to make alcoholic beverages unless they were necessary for sacramental purposes. So the church used to make for their Avodah Zarah purposes, and many Jews made wine because they said we need wine for Kiddush and Arba Kaisis and so on. So Louis Ginsberg massed to the government, it's a very strange story, he massed to the federal government that it's not true, that the Jews can just as well say Kiddush and Abdallah on grape juice. So when he came out with his tshuva, he printed a tshuva in Hebrew, he came out with his tshuva, there were many rabbanim at that time who disagreed with him openly. They said he's not right. That kind of regular grape juice is shakel. It wasn't really accepted. Louis Ginsberg's tshuva wouldn't have been accepted by the Orthodox if not for the fact that Rav Moshe Feinstein later passed him like that. Rav Moshe was machria like that against Rav Henkin, that even though the grape juice is treated chemically in such a way that it's never going to turn into wine, Rav Moshe thought also that the bracha is Baruch Pirei Gofen. In fact, when Rav Moshe passed away, one of the rabbanim who delivered a hesped on the east side in the day of the funeral mentioned that Rav Moshe's p'sak on the grape juice was accepted by the Pope because the galochim were having a problem. Some of them were drinking the wine that they used for the sacramental purposes of becoming shikar. So they had a shaila that they posed to the Bez Nagodol, to the Pope. Are they allowed to use for their sacramental purposes grape juice? So he asked them to find out what's the position of the Orthodox rabbis. So when he heard that Rav Moshe Feinstein said that grape juice is dinu kiyayin, so he said, if it's good enough for Rav Moshe, it's good enough for him. So they changed the psak by the church, that was a long time ago, that for their sacramental purposes, they don't necessarily have to use the wine, they can use the grape juice as well. In Eretz Yisrael, the Vadat usually has a reputation that they're more machmer than the Rabbanut as far as giving hashgachas is concerned, except for one area, one specific area, on the grape juice. They have a psak from their guided the Kohen HaPesna of Yerushalayim, Rabbi Weiss, not the present Tuvia Weiss, the previous one, the Minchas Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Weiss, Dai Weiss, the Neira Haredes, he paskin, if you have grape juice that's mixed with water, and you have 51% grape juice and 49% water, so you go Basar Raiv and you say Bar Piagov. So that's, but that's grape juice is always like that, based on the Pesach of the Rav. So that's, a lot of people use it for Kiddush and Abdullah, and it's very questionable. Many of the other Rabbanim say that it's Shahakal. The grape juice mixed in with so much water, 49% water, 51% grape juice. Highly questionable whether it's really still Bar Piagov. We were just tasting some of the wine. So some of us pointed out the Gemara has a special takana that if you have one kind of wine, then you have another kind of wine. Either you know the second kind of wine is superior to the first, or if it's not superior, not inferior, it's different, a different kind of wine. So the Chachamim made a takana, you don't have to say Baruch Yagof again on the second kind of wine, but you have to say Baruch HaTayna Meitiv. The bracha is short, Baruch HaTayna Meitiv. HaTayna Meitiv, this is only, HaTayna Meitiv is only recited if the Hatova is shared with someone else. So if you have two people or more drinking wines, and they both have the first one, then they both have the second wine, so then each one should recite the bracha Tayba Meitiv, but one can say the bracha to be might see the others. Special bracha Tayba Meitiv, they only made the takana on Shina Yayin, on wine. I just wanted to mention, we all ate together, we benched, so there wasn't enough room for everybody to sit. Mara has a din that Birchas HaMazon is supposed to be recited in the yeshiva. You're really supposed to sit. If you have no option, if the alternative is to sit on the floor, that uncomfortable, I think probably the recommendation would be to lean. Mara says if you're leaning so much that if you take away the wall that you're leaning on, the person would fall down. You say the Smichas ki yeshiva, and it's considered as if he's sitting. But under normal circumstances, it's not really proper to recite Birchas HaMazon in a standing position. It should really be recited in a sitting position. Regarding Alamichya or Alagetan, the Ein Sholosh, when you recite the form of the Birchas HaMazon over the Shivas Aminim, or over wine, or over cake and cookies, so that's two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. And the recommendation is to recite the Ein Sholosh also.
But we might get into the shul because some people want to hear Pierce.